Welcome back. I just introduced John Crawford, so welcome, John. How
thank
are you?
Thank you very much, Emmy. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yes, thank you for being on my show. And I understand that you create homes for fairies?
Yes, that's right.
I think it's so amazing because I want to direct people to your website right now if they're able to open up another browser and to look at your work. The website is www.fairywoodland.com. So that's FairyWoodland.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, Fairy Woodland. And it's really amazing because I just love your work. How do you go about the process of creating these almost, can they be similar to birdhouses? Can they actually be birdhouses? Or are they that size?
Well, no, not really. I mean, these are specifically fairy houses. We do, however, make a bird barn that goes with a fairy house, and it's we refer to that as our fairy ranchette, which is sort of a family joke here. But other than that, we don't make birdhouses.
Okay, so tell me about how you go about the process of creating these fairy homes, because I was so amazed about the design process and the way you started the ideas. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because I feel a real kinship with the work that you do around this, because we collect twigs and stones and sands from exotic places all over the country, ranging from the Hudson River Valley, a diamond mine in upstate New York, to an ancient seabed in Southern California, or the Hogan of a Navajo medicine man friend of ours, and so forth. And that bed of sand is the matrix in which the houses are created. And the twigs are also created from interesting places as well. And we lay the twigs in the bed of sand, and the twigs form the create the form for the walls of the house. And I sweep the sand to conform with the twigs, so that the twigs really are the creative driving force behind the houses. And we use real stone, and the walls are backpoured with cold processed porcelain, and the roofs are hand split shake shingles.
When I actually saw your work several months ago, and then somehow I saw it 2 days ago, and I thought to myself, your work, and I don't know if you're familiar with some of the architects, but this is what I thought. I thought, you've got some work that, if I had to describe it to other architects, would be a cross between Frank Gehry, Antonio Gaudi, Hansel and Gretel, and a driftwood project. Do you know of those two architects I mentioned?
I sure do. Well, my son is an architect, as a matter of fact, in Brooklyn, and I'm fairly familiar with those from his college days, and he and I shared a studio during that time, and so... Yeah, and thank you. I'm honored to be in such lofty company. I love that.
But do you actually draw influences from any of those things that I talked about?
Well, not directly. I mean, apart from the fact that I'm fascinated by the work of other artists, and they're certainly amongst those, energetically, the driving force behind the design and so forth are the twigs themselves and the material itself. And I had, at one point in my career, I started out as a puppeteer and spent a number of years in the film industry doing miniatures and mechanical effects and so on. And I did 18 Keebler commercials, which affected my sensibility about this and the kind of the crossover between a serious design concept and unabashed humor. And you know, we were out feeding the fairies one full moon, and they said, we'd like to have a house, and I thought that was a cool idea, so I just sort of did what came to my mind, and that turned out to be a unique technique that hadn't been done before, and that's sort of now become my my medium. And I'm now going back to some of these people that I feel this kinship with and saying, gee, you know, okay, I see where they came up with that idea. That's really lovely.
Yes, and you were saying, tell me, you were saying about some similar concepts between what you do and feng shui, and you said that objects have power. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, my connection to the fairies came through sort of a shamanic background. And a lot of the concepts of the way in which objects hold power and hold energy come to me through that source. But then in hearing about feng shui, I realized that the two areas of consideration have come to the same kinds of conclusions, just from different roots. And now also even more recently in talking to someone who is a quantum physics professor, I found that there is a lot of theory in quantum physics that relates to both what you and I do. And I'm quite intrigued by that whole thing. It kind of gives both of us validity, it seems to me.
Absolutely. And you also, you said that you've done your 900th house?
Yeah. This last week I just...
Not that you're counting, right?
Yeah, right. House number 968.
How do you count? I mean, do you put like a little check mark somewhere?
Oh, we take pictures of every single house that we make. In fact, the house itself is only a part of the process, because as soon as I'm finished making the house, then I turn it over to my wife, and she sits with the house, and the house tells her its story. And so she writes a myth or a fairy tale, if you wish, about each house. So each house comes with the house itself, a deed, a list of where all the materials were collected, and an original fairy tale.
Oh, well, I wish I could build a house with a deed so fast, huh?
It's true. My process is a little quicker than yours, it's true.
Well, just a little. I would think a little. What is your turnaround time if I wanted one right now?
Well, it
make
depends
one in 2 weeks?
On the size of the house. There are some houses that I make in just a few hours. Of course, I'm all set up to do it, so I go very quickly from one part of the process to another. But some of the houses that are more elaborate take 6 weeks. You know, I've done some pieces that were like, 4 feet tall and 2 feet across and so forth, and still in a miniature scale, and those are all tricked out with props and furniture and so on. So those take quite a bit more time.
That is so fascinating. That is amazing.
Well, you'll have to come visit.
Oh, thank you. And where are you?
We're in Newport, Oregon. My studio faces out on Yaquina Bay, and it's kind of an open-air barn kind of affair. And we build ferry houses year-round. With the rain
beating down. So you start with, when you start the process, it's basically, you said twigs, but it looks like driftwood to me when I see it online.
Some of it is driftwood, right? Yeah, but we also collect lichen-covered twigs from the Northern Sierra a lot, and some of them are very dried and gnarly manzanita from the eastern side of the Cascades, and then we have several places where we collect driftwood, and the character of the driftwood changes depending upon the species of woods that are in the area and creating the driftwood.
So you would design an entire house based on the configuration of the driftwood, is that correct?
Absolutely, that's right, yeah. I actually at times don't feel like a designer. I feel more like the first person to understand the relationship between two twigs that have been friends for years. And
the relationship between two twigs that, I'm sorry?
Sometimes I feel as though I'm just the person who discovers that there's a relationship between two separate twigs that have each had a friendly relationship for years and wanted to form something together, you know, and so I perform that function for them.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I got to think about that one. I think that's a really neat way to think about it, that you're housing two different materials or similar materials or related families of materials, and they're going to be living together with each other.
Yeah, yeah. And they really do. You know, what you realize through this sort of intense work is that objects have personalities, objects have spirit, objects can carry on a conversation with you, and we just need to learn how to listen. And once you do that...
Yes, what kind of conversations have you had? Because I've had a friend, and we did energy work. Oh, was it... what am I thinking of? In California, Pebble Beach over there. And she was saying that there's this huge piece of wood, and of course all the trees told stories too. But what are some of the communications that you do?
Well,
is it what they want to be or something like that?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do they communicate what they want to be?
Sometimes. And sometimes they call me. Like, I'll be taking a walk in the woods, and I'm just along more or less oblivious and looking at the scenes and smelling the day and so forth, and suddenly I hear a call, and I look to my left, and right there is a twig that has the most amazing character to it and personality, and I pick it up and start to just hold it and admire it, and suddenly... find myself being directed to look somewhere else, and there is another twig, and the two seem related, and so forth. And it seems to build on itself in that way.
What is interesting is that you mentioned twigs. What sizes are you talking about? 5 inches long, or something like that?
The length varies quite a bit. I try not to cut the length of the twig, because I really want to capture the inherent characteristic of the twig rather than modifying it any more than I absolutely have to. But
yeah, because it's been worn down.
Pardon me?
It's been worn down,
yes.
A lot of these driftwood-looking things.
Yeah, and the way the ends wear is really important to the design.
It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. But it's also really important to capturing the energy of the piece itself. You know, like there's a tradition called the False Face People. It's an Iroquois tribe, and part of their religious work involves using masks. And the way they make the masks is to first carve the mask onto the side of a tree that's given its permission for the ceremonial use, and they capture the life spirit in the mask, and then they cut the mask free of the tree. But the mask then carries with it the life spirit of the tree, and that becomes a part of the performance when the mask wears it. And what I do with the twigs is
We're out of time. Any last statements you want to say?
Well, it all goes too quickly, Amy. I hope we have a chance to continue this conversation. It's lovely to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. And your website is fairywoodland.com. So that's www.fairywoodland.com. And John Crawford's got amazing work. You got to visit that website. You'll be fascinated by his stuff. Thank you so much, John, and we will be on a break right now. I am Emmy Louie, and you're listening to The Emmy Louie Show.
Great blessings.